Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
This is Pool Party Radio. This is a podcast about the awfulness of being alive. A comedy podcast at that. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe, who has new theme music. How you doing, Mr. Frisbee?
Way intense. I feel very intense now. About as intense as I did when I was 9 and first saw The Undertaker come to the stage.
Probably more intense than that now that you are The Undertaker.
How did this happen?
How could it have not happened? Everything has been building up to this point.
The Undertaker, though. Now that's a thrilling character. Like rolling people out into a coffin.
Yeah, dude, that shit is awesome. Like, I wish that would happen in more sports. Like, I wish after a guy hits a home run, he would, like, go up to the pitcher and fucking roll that guy into a coffin or bury him at the pitcher's mound or fucking...
choke slam him into a coffin at the pitcher's mound that goes underground.
Set the
that theme music.
Yeah, set the third baseman on fire.
Hell yeah, man. That's excellent. Throw a giant cobra or a snake onto a guy in a boxing ring.
That would be great. That would be great if one day... I don't know. Who's a current baseball player? Dennis Eckersley? If Dennis Eckersley was attacked by Derek Jeter, and then he had to cut a promo the following week talking about, Derek Jeter, he ruined my wedding.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a much more thrilling place for sports. I think that's what most wrestling fans are like, I can't get into sports. This is way more interesting than any other sports. Yeah, it's way more interesting because they're doing really goofy shit. So... if you just like goofy shit, then we can probably compensate here. I don't know. Yeah, it'd be, I think it'd be more interesting than it'd be like turn of the century sports where you could just die on the field and you weren't getting paid that much.
Yeah. Not like these sports today where you're a football player and you just die 10 years after retiring because you're brain damaged. I wanted to see people die at the time, right then, right there on the field.
Yeah, you want your money's worth, that's all.
That's true. If I'm paying to watch a sporting event like football, where 98% of the sporting event is timeouts and fucking setting up the ball and pulling out chains and stuff like this, I at least want to see somebody die. Do they still pull out the chains in football? Is that something that happens?
I don't think so. I don't think they have like chains so much as they just have like a rope, something like that. They use digital technology. It's more like Tron than anything else. Really unsatisfying.
Yeah. All my football references are super old. I'm tired of them wearing those leather helmets. Stuff like that. That's not good. Speaking of leather helmets, I wanted to talk real quick about this podcast I listened to. It's called The Film Vault. It's hosted by Anderson from Loveline and Bald Brian from The Adam Carolla Show. And I listen to it a lot. And... It's a movie podcast, and sometimes they say just the most ridiculous things about movies ever. So I wanted to rant about some of their things. Like, what their show is like, each week they do a top five, you know, like top five best sci-fi movies of all time, top five this and that. And so I wanted to do a top five of the stupidest things I've ever heard of on their show. And I do want to preface this by saying I'm making this list as a podcast listener and not as a guy with a movie podcast, as that would be... catty. And I'm not trying to say that my movie podcast is better than their movie podcast or anything like that. I'm just saying this as a concerned citizen. And I feel the need to call people out for saying these stupid things.
Well, I have my catty meter, my cattiness meter, that I used to carry around and sit alongside you with to rate how catty you're being.
Okay, please.
So I'll tell you when it goes in the red.
Let me know if I'm being catty. I'm not doing this as a way to posture up and say junk food dinner is better than these guys. Because I'm sure we've said dumb things on that show. I once said that I didn't like street trash, which apparently is a very unpopular opinion. But the number five dumb thing that they have said on the Film Vault is that the film Return of the Jedi is a revenge movie. They did a top five revenge movies of all time, and they put Return of the Jedi on there, which is just ridiculous because the original title of that movie is Revenge of the Jedi, but then George Lucas changed it, acknowledging the fact that a Jedi is pure at heart and would never seek revenge. So at its very core, it's not a revenge movie, you see.
Man, I never thought I'd hear the day when you would go into Star Wars geekdom. Like, I never heard you talk with such geekdom about Star Wars.
I do.
I like it. I think it's fun. But, and I agree with you to an extent. Like, I don't think it's a revenge movie either on that point. And, I don't know. Like, if you were to play Devil's Advocate, or just, like, see their side of it, rather, then how would you say it's a revenge film? If you had to make an argument for what they're saying.
Well,
did you say that Darth Vader is getting his revenge, maybe?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he kills that Emperor guy, but...
That's like a last-minute decision, you know?
Yeah, it's not... I think revenge has to be premeditated. Like, you can't just kill a guy and call it revenge. Like, it has to be like, and I spit on your grave, where you're planning it out, you know? You're coming up with elaborate ruses. And there's nothing like this. And besides... Star Wars is like a war film. Like, there's no revenge in war. It's just more war. It's just battles and counter-battles and attacks and counter-attacks. Like,
yeah, the second one's called... the second installment of the original trilogy is Empire Strikes Back. It's not the Empire's revenge for blowing up the Death Star.
Yeah.
Like, well, you need a counter-strike.
Yeah, these are just strategic counter-strikes and not revenge by any means.
Did they clarify what their idea of revenge is, or was it just that? That it was Luke getting revenge
for
having his hand sliced off.
Yeah, they just said it was Luke getting revenge and all this, and, you know, that's not it. Come on. Jedis are lighthearted guys. They're not getting revenge. You're crazy over here.
That movie's terrible anyway.
That is
Ewoks.
True.
In the beginning, with Boba Fett dying, that's such a weak way for him to go.
Man, I know. They set up...
Master Bounty Hunter can't even control his own jetpack.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That whole movie is ridiculous. The number four dumb thing. Is that this is from the same episode, oddly enough. I'll just group them together. But that the movie Falling Down, starring Michael Douglas, I believe, is a revenge movie. They say he's getting revenge on society. It's about a guy who is just fed up with society, so he goes and kills a bunch of people. And it's not a revenge movie, as society is just behaving the way society would. They're not actually doing anything to him specifically or on purpose, so you can't get revenge. Like, you can just get fed up. And start shooting a lot of people. Like, you know, for example, that kid, John Holmes, who shot up the movie theater. His name is not John Holmes, but our friend is named John Holmes, so that joke is funny to me. John Holmes shot up this movie theater because he was sick of society or something, I assume. Maybe it's not the best analogy, since I'm not for sure why he did it, but I assume that on some level he was sick of people, so he shot a bunch of them. And nobody on Earth would say that it was a revenge shooting. And that's what this movie is. It's basically the same exact thing, but not revenge by any means.
Did Kill Bill even make their list? Or like any Pam Grier film?
No.
Was it?
Death Wish wasn't on it. I Spit on Your Grave wasn't on it. Like, this is the kind of list these guys do on that show, which is like, they don't do the obvious choices because that would be obvious. And I hate that. They're obvious for a reason, because they're the best. If you're doing a list of the best revenge films, you have to pick the obvious choices, because they're the best ones.
You could say that Friday the 13th is a good revenge film.
You got that right, and I would, if I was making that list.
It'd be that and Nightmare on Elm Street back to back.
Yeah.
Why revenge fails us.
Yeah, my number one revenge film of all time is Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. It's right there in the fucking title.
Cut out the middleman. You don't have to watch the movie. You know it's a revenge film.
Yeah, I would just go and search the word revenge on IMDb, and the first five movies that popped up, that would be my list. Because they would be bound to have revenge in them, unlike so many of these movies that they listed.
Yeah.
The number three dumb thing on set on the film Vault is that Borat is an anti-hero. I don't think that Borat is an anti-hero because... by definition, an anti-hero has to do heroic things. I think that a person like Snake Plissken is an anti-hero. The Count of Monte Cristo is an anti-hero. During the course of that whole movie, like, just because a movie is about a central character doesn't mean that is the hero of the story by any means. Borat does not do a single heroic thing in the entire movie. He just the movie's a fake documentary. If somebody made a documentary about Hitler, you wouldn't say he was the hero of the story just because he's the main character. So while Borat is a terrible person, he's not an anti-hero just by sheer fact of the matter that he's the top-billed character in a movie. That's absurd. What say you, Mr. Frisbee?
Well, I actually agree with you. I was listening to another podcast that talks about the hero's quest. This is idea, this philosophy brought up by Joseph Campbell way back when, by which I mean like the 50s, before you and I were even a gleam in our parents' eyes, that basically, you know, it discusses that any story, any narrative is going to have a hero, and the hero has to go through some prerequisite changes. There's a few different things in there, like he has to face confrontation, something about meeting a goddess, and then atoning with the father, atoning the sins of the father. Anyway, I don't like it. Like, I haven't really paid much attention to that theory because I don't agree with it. Namely, because you can do stuff like, say, the story of Hitler. Hitler here is the hero. It's like, no, I mean, if you want to fit it within that philosophical dichotomy, then sure, he's a hero. But to what end? Like, how much are you going to stretch horrible people into a hero's light?
I can't wait.
And to have them go through the same thing, too.
I can't wait to cut out that drop of you saying that Hitler is a hero. That's going to be delightful.
It's going to be my undoing on this show. That's going to be my next theme song. It's just this dubstep remix, and then just me saying, Hitler is a hero.
I mean, you know, for that guy to have written this in the 50s, I don't think they understood the concept of shades of gray in the 50s. I think everything was black and white. So I don't believe that guy.
I mean, it's like the same thing that people try to follow when they do any story. And that's why, I mean, it's in a way it's neat to have something like that so people can go against the grain of that. Be like, well, that's a shady idea because sometimes stuff just happens. And adversity piles on adversity and we have to deal with it. That's what makes some of the best, you know, films. Like, go against that trope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, Patrick, the anti-hero, to discuss that again, like, I don't know. It's him walking around doing goofy stuff. At the end, he kind of finds what he's looking for. And if you want to say anti-hero, I'd say it's more of a Snake Plissken sort of character. Like the warriors who intentionally do things mischievously to reach their end result. Reach end goals. And Borat just ends up marrying that one fat prostitute.
Yeah.
That's that he ends heroic. Up kind of digging on anyway.
Yeah, I think an anti-hero does heroic things, but he does them in a non-heroic manner, like the Punisher. He's a hero by all intents, but he murders people, so he's an anti-hero. Borat is just, like, racist.
Yeah, and he doesn't know he's doing anything wrong. Like, the Punisher was a cop, so he knows he's doing wrong stuff.
Yeah. Nah.
Hitler was wrong. He knew he was doing wrong things by committing genocide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to salvage myself here from that drop you're going to pick up from that thing I said earlier.
There's no saving face on this one.
Guess not. What's the next thing that you have on your list?
The number two most dumb thing ever said on the Film Vault podcast is that The Truman Show is a dark comedy. Dark comedies are movies or stories where the comedy is derived from awful things like murder and rape and you know, terrible things that happen. And none of that stuff ever happens in The Truman Show. Truman Show is like the most optimistic, sunny movie in the entire fucking world. It's a movie about a guy who's living in a glass bubble. Spoiler alert. And he discovers partway through that there's a whole big world out there, and he doesn't have to have his life dictated to him by by TV producers, and he can live his own life. And it's like just the most uplifting movie I've ever seen in my entire life. How it's a dark comedy, I will never know. Never in all my days. American Psycho is a dark comedy. Because it's about murder. Truman Show is about finding yourself and finding happiness. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, no one's actually being kidnapped in that film. I mean, I guess you could make the argument that that girl that he's interested in, the first in those flashbacks, that the girl who was trying to save him from that world, she gets kidnapped from that world, basically just removed from it. I don't know. That's,
yeah, and like,
it's not necessarily a dark comedy. Just because Jim Carrey's in something doesn't really make it a comedy. Like, you could say, what was it that, what was that one number movie that he had, 13?
23. Like
23?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a dark comedy, because he's in it, and it looks scary.
Yeah, I mean, like, The Cable Guy is a dark comedy, because it's about a guy who, like, kidnaps and murders, but he's funny while he does it.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good example of a dark comedy.
Yep.
I'm reading your cattiness meter, by the way, and you haven't breached red yet.
Okay.
Right? There's one left here, so...
I'm close.
Go ahead.
Well,
I'm watching.
I'm going all... I'm going to break the meter with this one, because this is a time where they unintentionally insulted my favorite movie in the whole world. The number one dumb thing said on the Film Vault podcast is that Vanilla Sky is a movie that should have a sequel. Now, I don't know, Mr. Frisbee, if you've seen the movie Vanilla Sky, or if our listeners have seen the movie Vanilla Sky, but it's... it's a movie that ends, I mean, you know, if you, even if you have the most rudimentary understanding of how art works, this is a film that ends ambiguously, because it's up to you, the viewer, to decide how it ends. Like, it's, you know, who you are as a person dictates how this movie ends and what you want to see out of the story. There's, like, a lot of different ways that this movie could end, in theory. And to say that this movie needs a sequel to clear up what happens at the ending and to see what happens next is just absurd. I'm having trouble thinking of other ambiguous movies. Like, what's another movie that ends ambiguously?
An ambiguous ending akin to Vanilla Sky.
I mean, like, Inception. Mm-hmm. Inception's not nearly as good or ambiguous. But, like, that would be like saying, oh, we need an Inception 2 to see whether or not the top stopped moving at the end. I know that's the whole point of the movie. It's up to you to decide. It's not up to Christopher Nolan to make a part two to tell your dumbass what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. End of Sopranos is not a movie, but I guess that would be a similar thing. People were very upset about that. They want to see what happened after the after it went to black.
That's true.
Or
like, I don't know, that's a Breaking Bad spoiler, never mind. But there was...
no Breaking Bad spoilers on the show.
Yeah, there was once on Breaking Bad a season that ended with something very ambiguous, and that would be like saying, oh, they should have made that episode 5 minutes longer to tell us what happens. Like, just fuck off. Just fuck off. You have to sit there and think about it.
I don't think you're very catty on any of those. I think I can use this cattiness meter later on.
All right, I appreciate that. I was very worried about that. It's hard.
Well,
I find it difficult to criticize other podcasts as a person that makes podcasts without sounding like, my podcast is better than your podcast.
You did it very rationally. You could have been really catty about it and just done that, like, snooty British voice you just did. But you didn't. You picked out, like, five examples of why you weren't a fan of their categorizations or genre depicting. So, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, they're, like, very ugly, and they don't look as good as I do physically.
Just broke my cattiness meter.
Damn it.
It's dead. You destroyed it. It was in the red, and it just exploded.
I blew it. Speaking of snooty British voices, though, I found a list on Wikipedia of all these derogatory terms for British people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited about that. This is really going to help me hate those guys.
What are some of the derogatory terms?
One derogatory term is that you can call a British person a salt penis, and that's very offensive.
Why is that a thing? Does it explain the origins of these things, or is it just like, call them a salt penis?
Well, I kind of wish it wouldn't explain the origins, because salt penis is very funny. But it's because when the British people took over South Africa for their own, because that's the kind of stuff that Britain used to do, and nobody seems to care, because Doctor Who is very enjoyable, I guess. if somebody left England to go invade and colonize South Africa, because they had one leg in England and one leg in South Africa, their penis would be dangling in the ocean, so they had a salt penis.
That's the most thorough description for a racial epithet I've ever heard.
I know, it's pretty good. So, I'm going to be using that phrase quite a bit.
Is limey still a thing?
Yeah, limey was on the list. But that's...
But they kind of owned that with the movie, The Limey.
Yeah, that became theirs. They're taking it back.
That's wild. Anything else that sticks out on that list that you're like, I'm going to use this?
Nah, I got to get more into it. Once I read salt penis, or salt dick, you can call it, I was just like, well, my job here is done. This is the one I'm going to use for a while. I'll wait till this one gets unfunny, and then I'll find a new one.
You know what you should do? Is just, since it's not really being used at all, just blatantly use that wherever you go, for whomever you don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
Even women. You're like, you're being a real salt penis today, wife.
I think I will.
We have an email this week from writer regular Blake Sell. Blake goes on to say that in a statement of one of our stories about the lady town, Saudi Arabia, interesting, they'll have a town for the ladies in a country that has harems. Is only ladies, or do oil barons have or do oil barons that randomly select those ladies? Don't know. It's government issued towns. The businesses are actually being run by women, some of which I guess are probably government appointed. Others are private industry.
Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't a lot of details about what these women would be doing or how hot they would be. And that's really what I needed to know out of that story, and it just wasn't there. Bad journalism. Shoddy journalism on that one.
We can only assume that some of the town names are called Foxy Town and
Chicks,
Sexy Place.
Sexy Place, Chicksville.
Chicksville, eh? I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't work very much.
And also...
That's an old story anyway. Blake does comment on Parker's murder story from last week. Parker had mentioned a story. Go back and listen to it, because we waited a decade for 30... iTunes reviews. No, it's there. And Parker mentions that he was working at a call center and haphazardly may have caused a murder. Blake's comment on it is, I realized that Deftard call center was terrible, and I would have done the same thing in Parker's position. However, I do not forgive you, Parker. I think you need more guilt in your life. I worked the call center at Victoria's Secret on occasion. I actually had random ladies hit on me, and when selling them things, I found out their measurements and got incentive money for selling them skivvies, so I guess I had the best perks in the call center job.
Nice.
And we all shared call center stories, and mine was pretty bad. Mike's had the most awesome, though, with the bear murder hotline.
Yeah.
If you murder a bear, there's a hotline you have to call.
The bragging hotline.
Indeed.
Oh, I gotta call this hotline. My dick is just so big. I have to call. Oh, I got a really nice car. I better call someone.
Wouldn't that be when you said my dick is so big, I'm sure there's like a lot of singles lines that they could call instead.
Nope, you got to call the bragging hotline.
Oh, let me talk you down, sir.
I beat Fallout in only 2 to 3 hours. Someone listen.
I didn't have to use the 99 lives cheat code on Contra. I just played it through and beat it.
Oh, I didn't even use the spreads gun.
And you're spent. And that's it. He finishes off by saying, for some reason, your last 3 episodes didn't update on my iTunes. I don't know what that was all about, but instead I manually went to the website and listened to 3 episodes in 1 day. Now, nice. That's a productive work day.
Mm-hmm. Also, they showed up on my iTunes, so I don't know if you've had this same problem, let us know, but they should be all there. If not, they're always on the website, I guess. Or let us know on our Facebook or something.
Yeah, I had iTunes trouble as well, which is a bummer. But if you hit refresh, sometimes that helps. I also just went back to the store and looked us up and downloaded our websites that way. Our podcast on our websites that way.
Oh.
And my bad. Blake actually asked me to read that last line in the John Lovitz voice, or in a voice like John Lovitz. Now that's a productive day. I guess that'd work.
That's kind of like Christopher Walken, I think.
Yeah, it's really nothing. That doesn't sound like anything.
It's all good. Yeah, I don't know. The iTunes should be fine. One way to fix that iTunes is to maybe subscribe rather than downloading by clicking manually. That might help. I'm subscribed. I'm our one subscriber.
I'm also subscribed.
Oh.
I'm our second subscriber.
What?
Of two.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
First of the lightning round, three Delaware daycare employees accused of encouraging toddlers to fight, released. Three women who worked at a daycare called Hands of Our Future Daycare in Delaware were accused of having two of the youngsters fight. Now, one was apparently feeling very aggressive that day, and they encouraged it, basically creating a Fight Club-style circle around the children and forcing them into it. They released after posting $10,000 secured bond.
I love this story. Now, I think that we have a connection to this in our show. John Brown, Robo John Brown, our intern, you used to work at this daycare, right?
I mean, come on, we're not going to battle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is wild to me. What was the name of the daycare again?
It's called Hands of Our Future Daycare.
Maybe.
And I'm certain that what the parents overlooked is the fact that the hands on the marquee board are actually clothed in boxing gloves.
Yeah.
So it should have been a telltale sign to not put your children in there.
It's called the Throwing Hands of Our Future.
Hell yeah. Oh, Jesus. You know what this actually reminds me of? When I was in daycare, I was in this place called Kinder Care in Huber Heights, where everything is pretty crappy, if you remember.
I do.
So yeah, Kinder Care, something like that. I was like 4 or 3, probably like 4 or something. You know, that age where it's like you're stringing sentences together and figuring out social relationships and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a kid in that daycare, and I hated daycare, by the way. So I was already miserable. But this kid was learning karate, like his parents put him into a karate class. You can already see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going around, like, shoving kids and all this, and I'm by the window, like, a baby just crying my eyes out, you know? Like, why are my parents leaving me in a strange place with strange people? No, I don't want to push pop. Stop it. And this kid comes up, and he's like, I'm learning karate! Yeah! And he kicks me in the chest. Or he, like, it was either a kick or a punch, but I just doubled over. And was like red in the face, and I think my parents had to pick me up. It was hellish. This kid was on a rampage though, and yeah, I don't know why he wasn't taken care of. But
you mean
in this
murdered?
Case, it seems like the in this Delaware place, it seems like the people were actually just encouraging it, like pushing kids into the circle. No pinching, only punching. They said,
yeah,
"Diddy
yeah.
Mao, Diddy Mao."
I would prefer if there was pinching. I would love to turn on the UFC and just watch fucking Anderson Silva pinch a guy until he submitted. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a technique he's been learning since he was a wee lad.
Yeah.
The punching and pinching technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a stomach to the gut in my case. Did you ever go to daycare?
Yeah, I went to daycare. They gave me ham salad, and I didn't care for it.
That is disgusting. That just sounds terrible.
Yeah, I wish that they would have taught me how to fight while I was there. Maybe this should be mandatory. Maybe when kids are 4, they should just all learn how to fight.
I'm under the impression that kids under 4 are all sociopaths anyway. Most children under 5, like until you can do basic math, I don't really trust you.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Or if you can't spell your name, that's also suspect. If you can like throw punches and kicks, you're basically still a wild animal. And I'm a fan of any precaution that allows them to be treated as such, outside of just, like, leashes, whatever. I don't really care about that. But this is horrendous. I think it's very odd.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're teaching daycare, you probably get, like, super bored watching fucking Blue's Clues and whatever all day long. So, I mean, you probably need to make these kids fight.
See, I remember, like, when I was in daycare, we didn't watch, like, Blue's... Well, obviously, Blue's Clues wasn't around, but I remember watching, like, Sesame Street or anything. Like, they didn't have live TV. They just had stuff for kids to do. And that was, like, one freak instance of a kid, like, punching other kids. I think he was scolded or whatever, or taken out of there or something.
They kicked the shit out of him.
They beat the shit out of that kid. And... they didn't do, like, other TV shows. They actually showed us, I think it was The Last Unicorn, or it was some, you know, the more I think about it, it was just some weird anime from, like, late 80s, early 90s, well, late 80s.
Tentacle rape. Before. You're watching all types of tentacle rape.
I remember that, though. Like, it wasn't tentacle rape, but it was, like, vines from a plant, and they were, like, engrossing this young girl. There was a unicorn there. And this guy, like, in a black trench coat and long-brimmed hat.
I think you just described part of the ending of Cabin in the Woods.
I was going to say, like, it could be Vampire Hunter D or any number of bizarre animes. But, yeah, could be in the Cabin in the Woods.
That sounds weird. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's. I think it's kind of fine that these people are making these kids fight while listening to 3-6 Mafia, I assume.
Probably, yeah.
And, I mean, it's fine because, you know, one thing you can tell for sure is, like, once you caught these people doing this and you, like, apprehended them, the people who get there, who have fun making four-year-olds kick the shit out of each other, are not also having fun playing with their genitals. So I would be pretty happy. Like, if the cops called me and they're like, hey, you know, these kids are being beaten at daycare. I'd be like, all right, so much as they're not being fucking raped, you know? Like, just put them back in there. Put them back in the pit. I don't give a fuck.
I love your optimism with this. I can just see you getting that message about, like, your kid or something, and you're on a cell phone driving along in a Maserati. You're like, no dicks out? Okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
First rule of Children Fight Club. Do not talk about Children Fight Club. You just broke that rule.
Yeah, the first rule of, like, Children Fight Club is no sucking dicks of little kids. Nah, that's a rule. That's a rule I can endorse.
Or vice versa. We don't want the reverse at all. So
yeah, no reverse cowgirl either. You're right. So where did this? This was in Delaware.
Yeah, it was in Delaware.
I think intern Robo John Brown has been there. How would you, John Brown, as a former a former worker of this place, how would you say that we could put a stop to this?
Pay that Delaware tax.
Yeah, that would help.
He's always got a response. Very good response.
He thinks these things through.
Yeah, he does. He's looking at the larger issue. We need to be more progressive with this. Up next on Lightning Round, NYPD probing a hate crime after bacon has been found at Staten Island Ramadan site. Muslims gathered for prayer to celebrate the end of Ramadan in a city park, but instead found bacon scattered on the ground. So I actually think this is something that's probably drawn directly out of South Park. I haven't watched South Park for a while, but this sounds exactly like something to be on there.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a gift to me. Like, there's no better gift than the gift of bacon. I don't care what your religious beliefs are. Like, this is somebody just trying to help you out with delicious fucking ingredients.
I'm going more of the psychopath route. I like the idea of some office rocker coot just, like, a beard down to his knees, little other clothing on. He's like, I gotta get all this bacon on the ground here. And thinking that he's doing some sort of service. He thinks he's a patriot for doing this.
Well, I mean, at least he's not shooting the place up. I mean, if bacon...
True, yeah.
If bacon is your biggest worry, you're doing pretty fucking okay.
Yeah. It's so... Yeah. It's very goofy, though. Like, it sounds like the largest practical joke ever.
Yeah, I think it's silly that this is being considered a hate crime, because I think, you know, it's kind of silly to label something a hate crime if there's no actual crime to it. Like, what is this, hate littering? What is this?
Yeah,
what is
yeah,
the crime
it's
part?
Stretch.
It's not like when you put bacon in proximity to this group of people that they, like, explode into guts and blood or anything. They just don't like it. They just don't appreciate it. That's not a crime.
It says that on a website associated with the celebration were some derogatory comments, and at the site itself.
Did they spell out, like, derogatory terms in bacon? Because that would be insanity and hilarious.
Let's see.
Like, if they took this raw bacon and put it on the sidewalk and, like, made it spell out salt dick, that would be awesome.
That'd be about right.
Get out of America, you salt dicks. Which would take about 50 pounds of bacon to spell out.
It doesn't go into too much detail, so we probably won't know. Yeah, but apparently most of the people present didn't even know the problem until the service was over. Somebody said, hey, there's a bunch of pork over here. So it wasn't that prevalent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they just were like, oh man, bacon on the ground. What are you going to do? Like,
another day in New York City.
Yeah, like they're in New York. Like, if it's not bacon on the ground, it's like nuclear waste or like rat corpses. Or
hipster corpses.
Yeah, hipster corpses.
Williamsburg corpses.
Yeah.
NYU student corpses. Except those who survive. Like past guests of the show, War Day.
Yeah. Broken.
He's proved a grit.
Yeah. I assume that that's how the streets of New York are. Just corpses and discarded Kevin Smith DVDs.
Yeah. In Street Performer. Street Performer corpses. The guy who's naked and plays a cowboy guitar.
Remember that time that we were in New York and we were in that park and there was like that statue there, like that white statue, and we thought it was one of those street performers that like looks like a statue, but then it turned out it was just a statue.
Yeah, that was a huge letdown.
We were all obsessed with like trying to not touch his face, like almost touch his face so that he would move and we could point out that he was just a dude and not a statue. But no, he was a statue, so we looked silly.
It was a bummer. But what made up for it was when we all rode that merry-go-round, and you pointed out that in the center artwork on the main column of that merry-go-round included a monkey who apparently had a tube of white goo spraying it onto clowns' faces, and you called it Monkey Bukkake.
Which is the name of my autobiography.
It's probably the name of the next Gore album, too.
Yeah.
Up next on the lightning round, some really depressing news, and also Batman villain origin story news. TV star Mark Summers recovering after car accident destroyed half of his face. The Food Network star and past Double Dare host Mark Maron. Sorry.
Man, that would be great. Could you imagine Double Dare with Mark Maron as the host?
That'd be heinous, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be like, you're going to have...
What the fuck is wrong with you? You don't know the capital of the United States? That's terrible. You're passing. You're really going to make a Double Dare out of this. I can't believe I'm on this show.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, what do you... You got to stick your hand up this giant nose and grab a flag. But how does that make you feel inside as a person? What are your emotions about this?
Comedy!
And then he'd be like, oh, here on this week's show, we got the Johnson family. Hey, Johnson family, it says here you're from Mobile, Alabama. How does it feel to be a racist hick? Because that's what Mark Maron does a lot. He's a shitty person to you if you're from the South. Yeah, Danny.
That's what everybody in New York does, though.
That's probably
anytime
true.
I hear anybody from New York talk about the South, it's like they're going to South America.
Yeah.
This is completely... Like, it's a culture I don't even know about.
Yeah, he had Dan...
travel, just... Get out of the goddamn city for once.
Yeah, he had Danny McBride on the show, and the whole time he was just like, I don't understand how you could be smart and funny and be from the South. I would assume you to be a real piece of shit. I'm Mark Maron. Yeah.
Yeah, the South is indeed a third world country. That's why all the jobs are going there.
Yeah.
Just like any other third world country.
Yeah, if you were to believe Mark Maron, you would think that the South was just Latveria.
Yeah.
Everybody was Dr. Doom trying to enslave humanity.
Yep. But yeah, Mark Summers was in Philadelphia in a taxi cab. And he doesn't really remember much about the event, except that there was a torrential downpour that caused the vehicle to hydroplane, caused Summers to smash into the plastic partition between the driver and the backseat of the cab. And most cabs these days, you'll find that there's a plastic partition that has a few holes for, I guess, passage of sound or air, and also
germs.
A slot for money and germs and incense smells. And terrible smoking lunches.
Yeah, and so you can clearly hear the techno coming out of the radio.
Yeah, or the talk radio, depending on which one you get into.
Yeah. But yeah, so Mark Summers smashed his face open.
And now he's going to be campaigning against having plastic partitions in taxis, which I'm sure taxi drivers are going to be thrilled with.
Yeah, I know. Like, Mark Summers, like, it's sad what happened to your face and everything, but those dividers are there so that people don't slit the throats of taxi cab drivers.
So, how much is it? Let me just get my pocketbook out. My pocketbook is a box opener, by the way.
And now I'm slashing your throat effortlessly.
And you said that this was sad what happened to his face. It sounds a bit rad what happened to his face, because he describes it as, you know, his eye socket got all swollen, having trouble seeing completely out of that left eye. Hope that gets better. But then he goes on to say, there's lots of titanium and screws in my face.
Whoa.
That's rad. He sounds like a Hellraiser character. Yeah, he's like a Cenobite.
He looks like Pinhead now.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. That is pretty cool, I suppose. I guess now, whenever you want to have like a Double Dare reunion, you just have to configure the puzzle box just so, and he'll appear.
Yeah, that is the Double Dare. Like, that's the last thing you have to do in the physical challenge. You better open that puzzle box or else you are going straight to hell.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take off all your flesh and then make
I would love a guy with titanium and screws in his face to tell me about how hot dogs came to be in America. Because that's what his new show on Rap is like.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear about the origin of the Zero Bar from Cyber Mark Maron. New Mark Maron.
Man, that fucking Zero Bar is delicious.
It's the best thing. So it beats the snot out of every other candy bar there is.
Yeah, I went through a very long phase with Jono, where we just bought the shit out of Zero Bars and lived off of them. Man,
was that like in high school?
Nah, we were like 25. We were very poor at the time. We didn't understand how to cook.
I mean, you can't really get the Mars bars that one British group sings about all the time, or used to sing about. So yeah, get the Zero Bar instead. Zero Bars, the official candy bar of Pool Party Radio. I wish, right? I could really do with like crates of that stuff showing up at my front door.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We should try to get them to sponsor us.
That'd be excellent. Pool Party Radio, the awfulness of not having Zero Bars all the time. Next up on Lightning Round, Nintendo Power might be shutting down. The fame magazine Nintendo Power launched in the summer of 1988 and became an instant hit. However, it looks like Nintendo Power will be shutting down soon.
That's a shame. Did you have a Nintendo Power subscription?
I did for a while, yeah.
We all did.
I actually think we might have that issue with the famed Castlevania cover, where Simon Belmont, like an actor as Simon Belmont, is holding a decapitated Dracula head.
That sounds metal as fuck.
It was metal as fuck. That's why it got recalled. Just like everything else that's metal as fuck. Parents got scared. You know, all that shit. Kids went nuts, apparently. This is kind of bummer news. I've actually been getting onto like a Nintendo nostalgia kick. Or rather, if I'm going to talk about this any further, a friend of mine is getting into a Nintendo nostalgia kick and is downloading emulators and such. Did you ever get into emulators, or did you have a friend who was into emulators?
Yeah, I had a friend that was, but I've also got a Wii now, so a Wii is basically just like a Nintendo emulator, like you can download for a small price, like a bunch of Nintendo games, and I haven't done it yet because I don't have the actual controller, and I'm not about to use a fucking Wii controller to play any goddamn thing at all, because those things are fucking stupid. So as soon as I buy an actual Nintendo controller, I'm absolutely going to get Zombies Ate My Neighbors, which is like the best game ever. And also that Super Nintendo Jurassic Park, which fucking ruled.
Really?
I love that game.
That top-down thing that they did?
Yeah, man, you could shoot fucking velociraptors with shotguns, dude. That shit is awesome. Rocket launchers.
I could never get very far in that game. I think it was just too weird for me.
Well, it had a fatal flaw in that it took about 24 hours to get all the way through it, and there was no save option, so you just had to keep on going.
That's some bullshit.
It was rough.
I remember early on in that game, there's like electrical fences that basically make the parameter of where you're allowed to go, And there's little checkpoint areas where you can get tips and hints. And sometimes it's the Wayne Knight character from the movie, the chubby guy, who's like causing all the problems. He's trying to smuggle the stuff out, and he's kind of a cheat and a liar in the film.
Yeah,
remember?
Dennis Nedry.
Dennis Nedry. I'm just going to go get some snacks. So I'm just going to go down the hall and get some snacks. That guy. He pops up in this Super Nintendo game, giving you helpful hints. And one of the hints is, if you walk into the fence, you get an extra life. I thought that was pretty funny.
Did you believe him?
No, of course not. That guy's a cheat and a crook.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's awful. But yeah, I can't remember the last time I got a Nintendo Power. I just remember going back through them, especially to look up the Battletoads speed moto thing. That one part of Battletoads where you're like on a sport bike, where it's like a hover bike. It looks like a Sea-Doo, basically. And it's a very tricky stage.
It's so hard.
So they had like a map printed off of it.
Nice. Yeah, the game was hard as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I had a subscription for a while. First of all, I mean, I didn't even know they were still making this shit. Like, they don't even make magazines about much of anything anymore, much less something fucking as silly and obsolete as Nintendo. Like, who's reading this thing? Like, hey, you've got the internet right there on your Wii, but we're going to try to sell you a print magazine.
Yeah.
So if you would have asked me when Nintendo Power went bankrupt, I would have said 20, 30 years ago, like, I would not have assumed they were still around.
Apparently, Nintendo Power enjoys a total monthly readership of 475,000, according to future price press materials.
That's more than the amount of people who watch Will McAvoy's show on The Newsroom. The fictitious Newsroom show.
So yeah, there's a hefty Nintendo Power crowd still about.
Yeah.
Reading Nestor's News.
One time I sent Nintendo Power a tip, and my tip was, I was very proud of this tip. If you held down, like, you know, in Street Fighter 2, you know Balrog, the boxer guy?
Yeah.
He had a move where if you held down all the punch buttons at the same time for 3 seconds and then released them, he would do like this special punch. But what I discovered was that you could do it before the match started, you know, like while they were counting you down. And then so much as you did it for like 3 seconds, you could release it right when the guy said fight, and then that would count, and then you could punch a guy. So I would always start off a fight by punching a guy squarely in the face, and I shared that tip with Nintendo Power. And it made, I don't know if it made Nestor's News, but it was in there somewhere.
That's exciting. I never had a good tip for Nintendo Power. I was such a leech. I was a barnacle for other people's successes at Nintendo games. But yeah, I have fond memories of it. That's something that, like, that you'll never really see again. I think I remember seeing Nintendo Power still on magazine shelves when I last went to, like, a bookstore. But yeah, most of the other gaming magazines out there, like Electronic Gaming Monthly, I guess they just have like a wider reach or something. So I don't think there's going to be anything nearly as cute or, I don't know, inviting, familiar as a Nintendo Power magazine. So that kind of sucks. Kind of a bummer, but...
I don't know, man. I think Highlights Magazine is pretty cute.
That's pretty cute.
Nintendo Power doesn't have Goofus and Gallant, and those motherfuckers are awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what the comparison would be. It was Nestor and that one guy with the bow tie.
Yeah,
it was like one of the editors or something. Yeah, Goofus and Gallant, though, one of those guys is pretty goofy.
Man, I fucking love those dudes. Man, Goofus was the fucking best. He'd be like, oh, Gallant, check him out. He's like doing the dishes after he eats. Oh, you know, he's a cool guy. And then it'd be like, but Goofus... He, like, fucking spits on the ground and throws dishes at his mom. And I'm like, fucking sweet, Goofus. You're the coolest. I want to be just like you, Goofus.
Goofus and the Gallants. That's your punk band name.
You get that right. But it would just be Goofus and the Goofuses, because fuck Gallant.
Did you have a favorite NES game? Or was it just Super NES, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or Bust?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors was on Super Nintendo. I guess my favorite Nintendo game would probably be Punch-Out, even though it's hard as fuck.
Yeah, I actually played that on a, what was it, the thing you mentioned, the Wii game feature they have. the WiiWare, where you can purchase those old games. I was playing that at a bar back in Dayton, and it was fun. Like, I always enjoy going through and seeing how far I can get, but it's always the tiger guy, the guy from India, who I can never get past. I always forget, like, his trick. Everybody just has a trick in that game, yeah. Much like real boxing.
Yeah, well, his jewel in his hat would light up, and then you could punch him.
That was it? Okay. Because he does, like, that spin around the ring thing.
Yeah. Well, I just learned that during Punch-Out, fucking, I've played this game so much in my life, and I've thrown so many controllers fighting Bald Bull, and that game is hellish. That's a hellish game. Like, that game is much more hard on a human psyche than, like, going to Vietnam or something like this would be, I bet.
Like, that I game agree.
Yeah, it's a rough game. But I just discovered that in between rounds, you can push the select button and get back health. I had no fucking clue. I've been playing this game wrong, like, all my life.
Yeah, I hear that, man. Your childhood, it seems way less significant now that you were out of that. I feel like you were in a cave. You know the Konami code?
Oh, yeah, come on. Well, I made a terrible mistake with Punch-Out, but I'm not, like, a mongoloid or something like this.
Yeah, yeah. Just making sure. You kind of have to do that. It's like... But yeah, your trainer can give you back significant health. And the way that you know that's working is that the hand that he's patting on the back of your shoulder goes faster. It happens in much more rapid succession. And you're like, okay, I'm getting some health back.
All right, now
I like where this is headed.
I don't feel quite so beat up anymore.
Yeah, surprisingly. It needs to be more realistic. Like, he needs to actually cut Little Mac's eye or something.
Yeah.
Like, when he gets real beat up, he's like, hold on. Don't flinch. You're going to need this to see Bald Bull or King Hippo.
Or just inject Little Mac with steroids in between rounds.
Yeah, that's all that running scene should be in between hands, where it's like Little Mac running with Statue of Liberty in the distance with that sweet music.
Yeah.
And the trainer's on the bike behind him. Yeah, it just needs to be, it really just needs to be like them in a sweat room and getting injected with steroids.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to be real about this. Yeah. So, come on, let's get real.
Your trainer would be like, hey, I just got these steroids from Alistair Overeem. He's an MMA guy that does steroids, you see.
The last thing on the lightning round is that a kindergartner was banned from wearing a University of Michigan t-shirt in his Oklahoma City school. An Oklahoma City kindergartner was forced to turn his University of Michigan shirt inside out last week because it violated a city ban on any apparel not supportive of the state's college teams. This is awesome, because coming from a state where it seems like everybody, including those who have never been to college, seem to support Ohio State University, I like to think that I now have it much better off, because I can't imagine wearing any Ohio State stuff growing up as a kid. Did you ever do that, or did your parents make you wear, like, an Ohio State thing?
Nah, man, my parents didn't make me do anything. I mean, I would, like, have to find clothes myself. I would be lucky if my parents made me wear some Ohio State stuff. I had to, like, fashion shorts out of potato sacks and stuff like this. My parents were nowhere to be found.
Kroger bags.
Yeah. I was wearing trash bags to work. Trash can lids. Stuff like this.
Makeshift armor.
Old issues of Nintendo Power. That's what I was wearing to school.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a map of Battletoads on your shirt? No, dog. I got this from Kmart.
It's a normal shirt. Leave me alone.
This is a perfectly normal plastic shirt.
This is, like, just so silly. I could kind of imagine, like, if you're going to, like, a college, you know, and, like, you were wearing the wrong college shirt for them to be like, hey, you know, this is not cool. What are you doing? You're at college here. But kindergartners, like, they're just being, like, they shit themselves. Like, what the fuck do you care what they wear? Like, they're not even real people. He's got no idea what that shirt means, this kindergartner.
Yeah, most likely not. Like, it just looks cool. He probably knows how to chant Go Blue, but that's about it.
It's, I mean, the fact that there's a fucking law that says that, you know, people aren't allowed to wear other schools' shirts is fucking insane.
Well, it gets more insane because the rule, apparent according to this article, was put in place 7 years ago at the suggestion of a task force that was trying to minimize the wearing of gang colors.
Yeah, that's how it is. Hey, we got a crackdown on gangs here in Oklahoma. Let's stop it with the people being able to wear Michigan State shirts and stop it with the ICP shirts. It's our top priority here. We got to crack down on ICP and Michigan State paraphernalia.
Man, I've been to Oklahoma like twice, and I don't remember there being enough people to actually constitute members for gangs. Like, you need at least 3 people to make a membership of a gang. I think I may have saw 2 people. Maybe the 3 of us could have been, like, a gang. That was about it. It gets even weirder. On the list of banned items, non-Oklahoma college dress falls directly in between gang symbol haircuts and, quote, satanic cult dress, witchcraft, and related symbols.
But, I mean, are you still allowed to wear, like, Oklahoma, like, City Thunder shirts and stuff like that?
I don't see why that would be a problem. Right now they're just talking about the college association. Because I'm not even sure if you can wear, like, other sports teams. I think it's just college.
That's insane. Although, to be fair, Michigan State is comparable to worshiping Satan. You know what I'm saying? O-H, Frisbee. O-H.
O-H. N-O.
Come on, what are you doing?
Get it.
I'm trying to have some Ohio pride here. Michigan sucks. Ohio rules.
You're in California. You shouldn't give a shit about any of this.
I don't. I don't care. I never did.
about the Michigan-Ohio standard thing. Like, this is infinitely interesting because I feel like this is going to spread to Michigan fans, and they're just going to, like, usurp the state. You know, because Michigan's kind of faltering anyway. So they're going to have to, like, march down and be like, we're taking over. You don't like what this little kid's wearing? Well, we got an entire university who says something about that.
Yeah, so, I'm surprised that a bunch of, like, tough dudes with nothing to do from Flint haven't gone to Oklahoma and just set fire to it. Because those dudes are pretty adamantly about their sports teams there.
In Michigan?
Yeah. When they win, like, when they have, like, the big Ohio State-Michigan game every year, like, when they win, they set fire to their own town. Much less if somebody wasn't allowed to like their team in Oklahoma, I can only imagine what would happen. They'd be kidnapping their kindergarten kids and forcing them to fight.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself a Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
So that's the end of the show. Check out our website, poolpartyradio.com. You can find all kinds of episodes there. Every single one of our episodes is on that website. Something like the first 20 episodes are no longer on iTunes. If you download us on iTunes, the only place to get those first 20 episodes, of which there are some classics in there, some hot classics, you can only get those on the website now. So, you know, go there and enjoy those if you haven't already. Or enjoy them again. It's like a trip down memory lane. What was the big news a year ago? Anthony Weiner or something? Go relive that. That's funny. His name's Weiner, and he showed his wiener to everybody. If that's not comedy, I don't know what is.
Or you could check out our previous Saved by the Bell episode, episode 10, if you like the most recent Saved by the Bell episodes that we have with Mary. If you'd like the recap of season 2, check out the recap of season 1. And let us know if we should recap the rest of it. We're going to anyway. Just let us know if you'd like us to.
Yeah, send us an email at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, which is tantamount to putting your finger in the air so Frisbee can see where you're at. And let us know if you like those Saved by the Bell episodes, because we're probably going to do more. So if everybody hates them, let us know, because we won't do more. But if everybody loves them, that would be expected, because they're awesome.
They are a lot of fun. And there's nothing I like more than watching a marathon of seasons of TV.
Mm-hmm.
TV past.
Yeah. Also, go to iTunes. And I know we say this every week, but seriously, give us some 5-star ratings or 4 stars or however many stars and reviews on there, because it does help us out quite a bit. It, you know, if we get like more than 3 in a week or something, it puts us on the new and noteworthy page. And it's pretty easy to get on that page, I've noticed. So, you know, if you got an extra moment, go to iTunes, say something like, you know, oh, pool party, it's a pretty funny. And that would be great if you could just do that and put that on there, and more people will find the show. And that will increase our happiness levels.
Our happiness levels.
Yeah.
Like an RPG game.
Yep.
You can follow me at Jason Frisbee on Twitter. You can follow Parker, although he doesn't want you to, at Parker Arizona.
Yeah, not till I get my actual name that I want, Ultimate Parker.
I'm pulling for you, buddy. Yeah, but that damn Peter Parker is still in use of it.
Yeah, I reported him and everything, so.
Well, I'll report him, too, because all it takes is two people to report this guy.
That's true. That's what we've learned as Americans, is it just takes two people to be mad at you, and then somebody will get rid of you to appease those two people.
We're finally going to reap the benefits of this.
Mm-hmm. Where you were going to be using the GLAD business model from now on.
You can also follow Pool Party at Pool Party Radio for whatever you want to know that an episode's been posted or any other news that might be pending. Want to find out who's going to be on the show next week or whatever. We don't have to talk about that. Or you can also listen to us on Stitcher.
Yeah, I just tried out this Stitcher the other day, and it's nice. So go to Stitcher. We're on Stitcher. And I think they've got like the most recent 6 episodes or something like that. So that's all nice. That's nice what they got going on over there. You just stream it. It's nice. Also check out a few of our previous guests. The last couple episodes we had Jesse from Pod Awful. He's a swell dude. He does a funny show. He just interviewed Andrew WK on his show. Go to podawful.com and listen to his show. And Mike from Kissing Contest was on last week, and they just did their 100th episode, which is an important milestone in a young podcast's life. I myself do Junk Food Dinner, which did 100 episodes many, many years ago. But these young upstarts now, like Kissing Contest, are getting to 100 episodes, and it makes me feel very old.
In the latest episode of Kissing Contest, they happen to review a grandpa movie, as Mike tends to put it. But yeah.
Yeah, those speaking of grandpa movies, on Junk Food Dinner, I had to watch a movie from the 30s this week.
Yeah, I heard. I saw your post about it. And then you started making grandpa-style jokes.
Yeah, it made
I think somebody else called you out on making grandpa jokes. Like, I was thinking that you were acting like a grandpa, and someone's like, you're making grandpa jokes right now.
Yeah, that was the soft man. He understands that I'm an old grumpy grandpa. But man, watching a movie from the fucking 30s, it made my fucking skin turn to dust. It just ruined my whole will to live. I understand.
Sure it did.
I understand now why so many of those olden times dudes went and enlisted in World War II, because they wanted to die. They had no fun movies to watch.
I've got no reason to live.
Yeah.
I wish I was born the year that Vanilla Sky would be released.
Yeah. All I've got right now is these crummy fucking murder mysteries where it's a bunch of dumb fucking shitty people locked in a mansion. Ooh. It's like Clue, the movie. There was a Clue movie, and it was fucking sweet, so that's ironic, I guess.
Yeah, I actually watched that movie recently. I didn't really feel like it held up. Like, we were making such a big deal out of it, running around trying to find it, and when we finally did find it, yeah, it was okay.
No.
I really like Tim Curry, though. Like, he's so forgiving in anything that he does.
Yeah. Do you know, one day, my plan is to open an Indian restaurant that is themed like Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, like all the servers will be dressed up like Rocky Horror Picture Show characters, and our main dish will be the Tim Curry.
That was such a long setup. Jesus.
This is Parker for Jason saying, fuck you, Chelios. You got to end strong, Frisbee. You got to leave him wanting more.
Tim Curry.